through, and I did it in two different ways. They're going to be, you can follow your sheet, or you can look at the screen, and all I want to do this morning is walk through the Roman road. Now, I've made 8 miles. There's 8 different mile markers. And let me make significant statements about a couple of things before we start. Every verse or verses have a context. Context is very important to me, okay? We're very guilty of using Bible verses out of their context, okay? So, for instance, when we start out in just a moment and look at Romans 3:23, which is mile marker 1, that tells us that everybody's a sinner, that comes with a context. That means Paul has talked about and argued why, whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, you're a descendant of Adam, and you're a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. He gives that argument. So sometimes when you're when you're sharing the gospel, there may be more to it, or more may need to be said than just reading that one verse, or sometimes 2 verses, or sometimes in Romans 10, 3 verses. If you like writing in your Bible, write these in your Bible. Highlight them. My Bible's full of different colors, and so when you're in Romans, if you have a highlighter, highlight every verse a certain color. Whatever you want to do, because what might happen, I am so sorry, what might happen in a month or two, let's say during an invitation, I require you to do some talking, as in I ask you to witness to somebody while holding hands. I wonder if that's going to happen. Well, you can count on it. And wonder if you turn to them and you were to ask that person standing beside you, do you know for sure that you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And wonder if they told you no. Would you have the ability at some point after church to share the truth with them? Could you? Would you? So all of us, whether it's here or out, we want to know how to share the plan of salvation. Now, hopefully this, I may be a little awkward. Zach's going to try to follow me. I can see the screen, okay. I got my little screens here too, Zach. Okay, look. Okay, all right. So we're on the Roman road, and like I said, there you could come up with 50 different stops on the Roman road. And one reason, quickly, and most of you know this, the reason we use the Roman road is they were prolific road builders. You may not know that, but they were prolific road builders, and you can travel. I haven't been to Rome. But you can read articles and travel Rome today, and there those roads still exist. Okay, and some of their paved roads, highways as they made them, are still in use today. So they are prolific. They had drainage. They had mile markers. They knew how to build roads. So there's just a play on words where we say the Roman road. Okay, that we're going to walk through the book of Romans and get there. So I put it in context. You'll see above every Roman numeral, if you're looking at your sheet, it'll have a context. It just says Rome, like in small black. That's the context. I'm not going to read the context. We don't have time this morning. I just want to walk through the 8 roads or the 8 mile markers, and I'll do some explanation as we get to some of them. I'm going to also read this straight out of my Bible because I love reading out of the Bible rather than off a sheet of paper. That's just who I am, okay? So I would encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. So let's go to Romans 3:23. And so if you were sharing the gospel and you were going to share why somebody needs to be saved, okay? Now, again, we live in a different culture. A lot of people have no idea about Adam and original sin. They have no idea what the word sin means and disobedience. So you may need to know the context of Romans 3 and really the context of all these. But let me pick up in verse 23 is on the screen. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm picking up at verse 21. It says, but now This is Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. See, the law condemns. Okay? Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. They're always referring to the law because it condemns. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, Jew or Gentile. Everybody's a sinner. So then he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Of course, you could also keep going and read about justification, but we're going to use another passage for that. So what the issue is, the reason you need a Savior is because we're sinners. Now, folks, there's a lot of theology behind that. This is one reason why people don't want to believe in a literal Genesis, what we call original sin. And that we in Adam, we're dead. We're dead in Adam. We've inherited his sin nature, and we are in sin. We are born in sin. Now, a person's not born sinning because a baby isn't born sinning, but given the opportunity to sin, as they're going to sin, but they have the sin nature. Now, let me tell you something else that's interesting, and this is just free stuff to learn and enjoy while you're at church. One of the things I'm interested in studying right now, and one day I'll get to talk to you about it, and it's on the edge, okay? So I'm not going to teach this on Sunday mornings. But when you're reading Genesis and you come to Genesis 6 and it talks about the sons of God coming into the daughters of men and corrupting those women and there being Nephilim giants on the earth in those days, there's things those people did to also corrupt you. So when you read the Old Testament and there was so much vileness in the world, even back then, part of that was because just the corruption of what happened in Genesis 6. But you and I are sinners because we're descendants of Adam. We're sinners. And you can prove that they're a sinner. I mean, proving sin in anybody's life is fairly easy to do. You can use your own personal illustration to do that. I have had people tell me they're not sinners. But you know that's a requirement to be saved? You have to confess that you're a sinner. So I remember visiting a guy one time, not going to get into the whole story, but he told me he didn't sin. And so I told him, I said, well, if you don't think you're a sinner, God can't save you from you. You know, you can't be saved. That's the honest truth. We're sinners, and we're going to find out in a minute the wages of those sins. So Romans 3:23, so your first stop is to show everybody's a sinner, okay? There's other verses that tell us the same thing. You can even take them to Genesis and read to them about the fall and about how we all sinned in Adam. He's the father of all men, okay? Number two, so that's mile marker one. So however you want to mark it in your Bible is everybody's a sinner and they miss the mark. Fall shorts, miss the mark. God has a mark of righteousness, perfect life. And who is that? Who came and lived the perfect life to give us how to live? That would be Jesus. Jesus lived the perfect life, and so our mark is the Lord Jesus. We don't live like Him, so everybody's a sinner. Number two, so if you paid for your sins, okay, I'm not on? Am I not on? I'm on? Can you? Okay. All right. That's all right. Can you see me? I'm just kidding. Number two, mile marker two. Romans 6:23. So we know from reading the book of Genesis, this is just where context matters and having a little Bible knowledge helps. You could take them and say, you know, when God made man and man sinned, do you know what God did? Sin had a wage. Something had to give. In order for God to communicate with man, He had to cover their sin. So the wages of sin is what? Death. So in Romans 6:23, the Bible says, for the wages, and the word wage there, you can tell them this in the language of the day, is for a soldier's pay. It's just a common word for getting payday. Okay. The great sermon from days gone back, hands of the sinners in the hands of an angry God, payday someday. That one day God's going to level pay. And so somebody has to pay for sin. If you do it, you're going to be judged for your sin, and your payment is death and separation. Okay? But then the other choice is going to be Christ. So it says in Romans 6:23, now again, you may have used Romans Road and gone a different way. I'm just using mine. There's a different way to do it, but this is mine. So Romans 3:23 is the first mile. Second mile is, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's a way out of you paying for your sin, and that is through Jesus Christ. But God's gift is eternal life. So there's either eternal death or there's eternal life. You see the difference. The wages of sin is death, eternal death. But there's eternal life in Christ. Okay. And the Bible's full of, the book of Romans is full of those pictures. So Christ is life, outside of Christ is death. Now, folks, these are hard terms. It is not easy to believe. That's why the Spirit and the Word have to do their work. When you're telling somebody, especially in the world we live in, that they're a sinner, that they're born in sin, they're born with a sin nature, and on their own they are condemned to hell, that's rough. And they need a Savior. If the Spirit of God's not in it, they're not going to believe. That's why I don't trust deathbed confessions all the time. Nobody wants to burn in hell at the last minute. But do they understand the gospel and their sin and their repentance? And so, for the wages of sin is death, separation, but the free gift, I love that, of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then I go, so that's the second mile. Let's go to the third mile. So we have the first two mile markers are pretty simple. You have everybody's a sinner, and then everybody's going to pay for sin. But there's a free gift out there, and that's Christ Jesus. Okay? So there's sinners, and there's Christ. Okay? There's payment for sin, and then there's Christ. So you see the two options here. Die in your sin, or you die in Christ. That's another way to put it. And hey, you can articulate that any way you want. Now I go to Romans 5:12. I mean, there are several other verses you could put in here, so let me tell you why I pick 5:12. Because I want them to understand how sin came into the world. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Okay, that's another verse about the sinfulness of men. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all are sinners. Now, on the third mile, for simplicity, I put two little scriptures. So we have two stops at mile marker 3. Am I right? Did I put that on the screen that way? Okay. So let's think through it. We're at mile marker 3. Everybody's a sinner. We've convinced them of that. We know everybody's a sinner. Then we go to Romans 6:23, and we say the wages of sin is death. So if you pay for your sin, eternal separation from God, but the free gift of God is eternal life in His Son. Then we come to Romans 5:12 that says, therefore, just as sin came in the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Then you go to Romans 5:8 on the same mile marker. It says, but God showed His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I love that verse. Again, your Roman road may be a little different, but this is just how we're going to use our Roman road this morning. So you're going to show them how one man sinned through one man. And then Romans 5:8, but God... King James, New King James says demonstrated. ESV says but shows. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, that's a profound verse. You know, Christ died before you were ever born. You got to think about that. And so that's, you know, we talk about love being an action word, and it's defined by what Christ came and did. And so he defined love. John says this in 1 John. Herein is love. John, this is in 1 John 5. 1 John 5 says, herein is love. You want to know what love is? Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to save us from our sins. And that's what real love is. So when we're thinking about the love of God, and so now we've involved, you know, the gift we've already mentioned, but the free gift is Christ. That's in the second mile. Now that we're in the third mile, we're going to mention the love of God. But God showed His love toward us, and that while His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, if you know your Bible pretty well, and you're reading with somebody, and you're sitting down at the dinner table, or you're at the restaurant, or it's a friend, first time I mention love, you have to go to John 3. You know, if you're comfortable enough flipping through the Scriptures with somebody, and everybody's heard of John 3:16, but reading the context with Nicodemus, that's why at the bottom of your little handout, the last verse in the bottom, at the black, bold black bottom right verse says John 3:3-21, because that deals with Nicodemus and John 3, the love of God. You know, when Jesus Himself says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only," Jesus is saying that to Nicodemus. You must be born again. So you talk about the love of God. So now you're at mile marker 3. Everybody's a sinner. They're the wages of sin. Then there's a gift, right? There's the reason that everybody's a sinner, through the one man. So if one man brought sin, one man brought salvation. Do you see where we go in Christ? But God demonstrated His love toward us, and though while we were still sinners, Christ died. Mile marker 4. And I do this because you could get by with 4 miles. You could. When I share the gospel, I usually would make Romans 8 before Romans 10, but I'm giving you 4 quick mile markers. I kind of did it a little different. And you can change this up. This is not sacred. But I go to Romans 10, 9 and 10, and this is where they come to the point of faith where they understand who Jesus is. And Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says this. It says, because if you confess, well, by the way, verse 8 says, but what does it say, talking about God's Word in your heart? He says, what does the Word, he says, what does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, we're not asking them to believe that Jesus was a historical figure. That's not what they're agreeing to. That's one of our problems. We make it too easy. You're not asking them, do they agree with history? It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that, and of course there's repentance. So if He's your Lord, then you're repenting from who you are, because right now, if you're not saved, you're your Lord. So there's some communication going on there. So confess that He is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Paul says, you will be saved. By the way, the book of Romans, and you have to think now, to Rome, Paul never got to Rome except as a prisoner, but he sent this book. And so now you think there's the empire, the seat of the empire, Rome, and believers could go take these verses to unsaved Gentiles and walk through the Roman road 2,000 years ago and explain what we know as the plan of salvation. So then Paul says, for with the heart one believes. The word belief and faith are synonyms, okay? For with the heart one believes and is justified. Oh, there's that word justified. And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. So here this is the fourth mile, I added two or three other verses here. So drop down to verse 13, okay? And really, you can just keep reading, but if time-wise, so 9 and 10 are essential. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, folks, you understand what we're saying here. It's, again, we're not asking people to agree to historic. You're talking about calls on who Jesus is, the Son of God, born of a virgin, right? Believing in Him being the Son of God sent to redeem sinners, that He bore the sin of man on the cross, that He was resurrected the third day. These are the things they must believe if Jesus is Lord. If He wasn't resurrected from the dead, He's not Lord. So when you're saying, you know, you have to have a little bit of common sense to explain, you're just not asking them to agree with some information, you're asking them to repent and believe in who Jesus is. And then I probably like verse 17 too. I just added that there. It's not necessarily one you have to share, but so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. This is how, you know, the thing is, this is how folks have been saved for 2,000 years. That's not going to change. So you could stop at 4. If you get to mile marker 4 and you've read those verses, they understand the basic plan of salvation. Okay? They understand we're sinners. They understand the wages of sin. They understand the free gift that's come. They understand why sin's in the world through one man. And now one man has come to redeem sinners. They understand that. And that you have to call on Him, okay, to be saved. But let's go to mile marker 5. Now, the reason I did this is if you've walked through with them and they understand salvation and maybe even they've prayed and now you can kind of tell them a little bit more about salvation, okay? Or you can keep going and just talk to them about what these things mean, even though they haven't repented yet and believed in Christ. Romans 8:1, which is my fifth stop, is there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Also, and to give you the context, verses 1 through 8, but also like Romans 8, look at Romans 8. I didn't write this one down, but I'll. Verse 4, Romans 8, 4 says, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. That because God has saved us and Christ died for us, now His Spirit allows us to walk according to the righteous requirements of the law. We can fulfill the law sometimes. I like that. So there's therefore now no condemnation. Can you believe that? In those of you who do remember, all of us remember what it was like to get saved. Some of us more than others. I was 16 when I got saved, so I remember it like it was yesterday. That no condemnation. Isn't that awesome? Because you're born in sin, so you live condemned in darkness and death. And so this freedom, this no condemnation, that those, so we no longer are going to be condemned by the Father because we're in Christ Jesus. And you can explain that in that Him is means His history is yours, in Him. So we're in Him. We get His history. So that's number 5. I love the doctrine of no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But the opposite's still true. If you're not in Christ, then what are you? Say it again. You're condemned. And folks, even our crowd this morning, a small crowd, there still could be somebody here that's condemned that has really never repented and believed. Somebody could tell me the time. I don't have a... 10 till? Okay, good, thank you. We've got 30 minutes. That's good. So mile marker 5, there's therefore now no condemnation. Talk about, you know, God's wrath against sin. Just what you, all kind of things, condemnation. You could even mention some of the wrathful things and when God pours out his wrath to lost people, own lost people, and the devil and Satan and all that. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So the next 6 mile is Romans 5:1. And I do this for a reason. When you look and get to Romans 10 and talk about what it means to be saved, that's why I did this in this order. For those that come to faith in Christ, there's no condemnation. And then you're justified by faith. Romans 5:1, part of salvation. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a misunderstood doctrine sometimes. This is judicial. This is not the doctrine that says you and I can live like we want to and still go to heaven. This is a judicial decision. That's exactly what the word means in the Roman, in the Greek language of the day. Justified. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. It's a judicial term. Almost matching 8, when you went back to 8:1, where it says no condemnation. It's just, you're justified. You're not guilty. And it comes by faith. So, it says, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I always think about John 14, where Jesus is leaving the disciples and he says, peace I give with you, my peace. You know, and I think about the peace that we have when we come to Christ. We have peace with God. But if you're not at peace with God, the Bible says you're an enemy of God. So if you're not saved, God's your enemy. James says the same thing. Mile 7. Mile 7 is Romans 6, 10 and 11. Now, I normally don't use this one. Okay, this is a new one for me as far as if I were going to make 8 miles, so I had to add this. And for the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The New King James says, reckon yourselves to be dead. Okay, it's because of what Christ has done. Okay, what Christ has done in you. You can reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to God, or alive to God in Christ Jesus because of what Christ has done. Now, are you practically dead to sin? Does that mean you never sin? That's why it says you reckon yourselves because of what Christ has done. He's done it, but you still battle the sin nature. So for the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Death to life. Death to life. Mile marker 7. We love baptism. If you go and if you use Romans 6, really you might go back to verses 1, 2, and 3, and it talks about baptism. Buried with Christ in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life. This death, we died to self and we were brought to life in Christ. Jesus was crucified, he was buried, and he was resurrected. That's the power of life that we have. We believe in him, so we died. We died to self, we died to sin, we died to this world. And by the resurrecting power of his life, the work of the Holy Spirit, he gives us life. Buried with Christ in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. So baptism is a very vivid reenactment of what Christ does in us. It's just a symbol of what he's done in us. So before we go to mile marker 8, and this is where we've gone, 3:23, let me just read the verses. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Number two, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Number three, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because everybody's a sinner. But God showed His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For the death He died to sin once for all. In the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I like to finish with Romans 12 because it talks about the rest of our lives. We think of the body as a temple. We know that from 1 Corinthians 6. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We know we've been bought with a price. The Lord, you know, the psalmist said the Lord is God and He has made His light to shine on us. I like that. It also tells us in Psalm 118 that you and I are sacrificed, that you have to bind a sacrifice on the altar. We don't like to live a sacrificial life. So this is what Romans 12, this is for the believer now. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. You see how it's talking to the brothers? Okay. This is how Christians are supposed to live. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Some translations say your reasonable worship, your logical worship. It's saying that in light of salvation, worship is only the logical thing to do, is really what it means. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now think about that, living sacrifices. What have we really sacrificed? Sacrifices is to give something that basically you need. Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we've had eight mile markers to learn what it means to be saved. My next favorite one is Ephesians 2. And it just says, for by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Folks, you're saved by grace. Now, here's what we know. All of us are sinners. There's only one that can save sinners from their own sin. And it's Jesus Christ. And when we believe in Him, several things happen. We're no longer condemned, and we're justified, and we become living sacrifices. These things happen. So when we read this, and number one, I have to ask you, could you discuss this with somebody of how to be saved? Could you use the Roman road of how to be saved? But my bigger question is, are you saved? I'm not asking your neighbor. I'm asking you. Are you saved? Have you found the Christ by walking the Roman road? Our heads bowed, our eyes are closed, and our hearts are open to the Lord. A little different this morning, our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just thinking about the Lord and about salvation. In a moment.